The Quote Goats Podcast. With your hosts, Tommy Guns. The Quote Goats Podcast.
So, we back in the building, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Quote Goats Podcast. I go by the name of Tommy Guns, and I got a special guest on the show today. His name is, I'm going to let you pronounce it, man, because I forgot already. Can you introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Roman Zanoni. I am a trauma recovery specialist. I specialize in helping people overcome the effects of CPTSD, that's complex post-traumatic stress disorder, okay, which is the common result of being a prisoner of war or growing up with narcissistic parents, abusive parents, or being in a long-term relationship with an abuser or a narcissist. So that's my specialty, is helping people to heal from complex trauma.
Okay. You said a trauma healing specialist. Mm-hmm. Is this like a certification you have? Is it? I never heard that term before. Trauma healing specialist. So you take clients who have PTSD from whatever situation, and you help them navigate it and like try to get them towards the healing that they're looking for.
Yeah, so I consult for clinicians and help them to be able to learn how to help their clients to heal from trauma, which is really at the root of most mental illness anyway.
Right.
And that means how are we going to help the client to overcome anxiety? How do we help them to overcome depression? How do we help them to overcome low self-worth, low self-esteem, loss of self, loss of purpose, loss of values, the sense of dread, the fear that they're experiencing? It's about getting real results. So I help the clinicians to be able to get those results with their clients. And I also work with the clients themselves and help those survivors to overcome the effects of complex trauma, narcissistic abuse.
Right. That's dope, man. It's dope that you're helping people out like that. How long have you been in that field?
I've been a specialist for the last 2 years in this field, but I've been counseling for something like 20 plus years.
20 years. You look like 25 or something like that.
Nah, bro, I'm about to turn 40.
Really? I'm close. I'm getting up there too. I'm 37, I think. I make myself forget sometimes. But I'll be 38 in January, but people still tell me I look pretty young.
Yeah, you can't tell at all.
You know what they say, black don't crack and all that. But the reason why I wanted to bring you on the show is I was scrolling, you know, doom scrolling through TikTok or whatever, and I saw one of your videos breaking down Jada Pinkett and her narcissistic tendencies in the relationship she has with Will Smith. And I thought what you said was very eloquently put, and it seemed like you really knew what you were talking about. And I think you posted a few clips about it, and I watched a few of them. And there were terms that you brought up to describe some of her behavior. And let's see, one of them was like narcissistic slipstreaming. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of how she would portray this behavior with Will, or yeah, how a certain person would, or what the term means?
Absolutely. So slipstreaming is taken from racing, where a driver will go behind another driver, another car, or this is in bicycling and motorcycling as well, right, so that they have less wind resistance. They'll ride behind the person who's in the front. And so they're following the leader, but this now allows them to gain more momentum by riding behind that leader because that person is taking the majority of the wind resistance. As they gain more momentum, they can eventually get into a position where they can pass the person in front of them. Because of the mindset of a narcissist, they view the world in a hierarchy, like they're in a race.
Right.
So they want to get out in front of their loved ones, their wife, their husband. So what a narcissistic wife, for instance, might do is latch on to a powerful, popular, talented, well-loved husband or boyfriend, and then ride in his wake behind him and gain that momentum for herself. So this is going to help her to boost her notoriety, boost her career, and she's going to get the access to his resources, access to his connections, access to his audience. And once she gets herself into a certain position of notoriety, she will wait until he does something to falter.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will take that opportunity to pull out in front of him. Whereas a non-narcissistic spouse will try to support you in your time of falter,
right,
will be trying to hold you down in your time of weakness. What you see happens, interestingly, with a narcissistic wife or spouse is that they take that opportunity to continually put you down and to make you look crazy and to bring more attention to your fault, to your flaw, because they have the underlying covert goal of actually becoming more loved or more popular than you,
and to be,
even though it's delusional that you could ever achieve that,
and to be the superior person in the situation.
Yes, wow. Because of the childhood trauma, the delusion that's created is there's a hierarchy. The people at the top get their needs met. Everyone else is dogs. They're nothing. They're worthless. And if I don't want to be worthless, I need to be on top and I need to win. So for a narcissistic wife, if you have a husband like Will Smith, for instance,
right,
where he's so loved and everyone's always praising him, it burns. Every time someone is like, oh, your husband is this, your husband is that, a narcissistic woman doesn't take that as a compliment.
Mm.
She takes that as like an insight to competition. It's painful for her to hear that she's still number two.
Right.
And that's the way they think it. As illogical as it seems to us, that's the way the narcissist sees the world. So they will bide their time and bite their tongue, waiting for the opportunity to get in front. And that is slipstreaming.
Wow. Yeah, that's the first time I heard that term when I saw your video on it. And you just gave me more insight on it. But it sounds like, because you said like the fact that the husband and in this case is praised and exalted by everybody, it in the narcissistic wife, it infuriates them to play second fiddle. And the more successful the husband, the more mad and maybe depressed the narcissistic wife gets. Because I watched the recent podcast with Jada, and she spoke to that a little bit. But I remember when Will was, you know, on the red table and they were talking about, and I think Willow was there. This isn't the time where she like confessed to like, you know, smashing August and all that. This is when he was telling the story, and I read his book. He was telling the story of how his wife was like really depressed. Jada was really depressed. What reason she has to be depressed, I don't know, but she was really depressed. She cried for like 40 days and nights. It was like a biblical like cry attack that she had, and he couldn't figure out what to do. So he was like, I'm going to do a grand gesture. Her birthday is coming up. If I'm not mistaken, he spent like $1 million, researched for like 3 years, and put this whole big birthday plan together for her and tried to make sure everything involved in it was everything she liked. She invited her favorite singers, her whole family, had a recording of her grandma or something like that. And he said the party was going down, and he was looking at her like a little puppy, like, please give me some, you know, give me some praise for doing this for you, or maybe appreciate it, please.
Validation.
Yeah, validation. That's the word. And she looked at him after everything he just did and was like, what's the word? He said, like, she said, this is the ridiculous display
of ego.
Right.
Her 40th birthday was going to be my thing.
It was going to be a splash.
It was going to be a splash. Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige performed. I debuted the film, all of that. It was going to be the thing that lifted her out of this midlife crisis. And it was going to be my deepest, most beautiful proclamation of love. And we did it. And I had found tapes of Jada's grandmother. And her grandmother had recorded these voice messages over the last like 8 months of her life.
Wow.
And it was tapes that Jada had never heard.
Wow.
So Jada had to sit there and listen. I understand thoroughly now. At the time I didn't, but she's listening to these never before heard tapes of one of the dearest people she's ever known in her life, in front of all of these people. So she's holding it together, she's getting it together. Then I have Mary J. Blige performing the whole time. I'm like,
yeah.
The little boy that wants mommy to say everything was wonderful,
yeah.
Right? And she's having a really difficult emotional time. And then when we got back to the room, it was me, you, and mommy, and we were talking about the next day, and there were things planned for the next day, and she said, I'm not sure I want to do anything the next day.
I just wanted to have intimate
just
time.
Just intimate time. And I was like, well, I'll cancel tomorrow. She was like, it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Right? And she's told me that the party was the most ridiculous display of my ego.
Ooh.
I remember the first time I saw that, and I was like, what? Like, that would have been my out right there. Like, I just spent $1 million and did everything in my power to try to, like, finally make you happy. You happy? And that's what you tell me in front. I think it was in front of the whole, like, party and stuff, too. But, yeah, I think you spoke to that, too. Like, yeah, tell me your views on that.
It's so imperceptible to people on the outside that a man can be emotionally abused in a relationship. Especially a man that is viewed as powerful, as rich, the idea that and strong, the idea that he could be the abused one is imperceptible.
Right.
But this is an example of how it actually works. If the man is codependent, if the man is a people pleaser, a validation seeker, then he is prime prey for a withholding, a neglectful, a narcissistic woman. To prey upon his desire to always win, to always succeed, because he will apply that just like he applied it in his career. He applies it in his household.
Right.
He applies it in his relationship. So his mindset is love will prevail. If I work hard enough in this relationship, I will prove my love. And that's what he said. This was going to be my grand gesture of love, because he thinks, and this is cognitive distortion on his part, that love will solve the problem. That what she's missing, what she's lacking, is she needs to feel more loved. And that is the opposite of the truth. So she knows she's weaponizing this, but the problem is he's so good at what he does that he actually hit it out of the park with that birthday party. It wasn't that he failed. He hit it out of the park.
Oh, it was undeniable.
And now from her perspective, remember, it's a hierarchy. So if he killed it, now he smashed away her justification for being angry and mad all the time. And he's going to get praised, not only for being him and being a great husband, but for even curing her of her unhappiness and curing the marriage. She cannot have that.
Right.
So what can she do? What is the way that she can prove that this was actually a failure? And the term is gaslighting. Gaslighting is now to make the person and everyone else believe that the person had bad intentions. So you're doubting your intentions and you're believing that you're ill or you're wrong in some moral way. So that's gaslighting, setting someone up to believe that their beliefs, their reality isn't real, and my reality is real. So she had to introduce or spin a whole new way of looking at this. And what does she come up with? It's quite brilliant. You have a ridiculously huge ego, and that's what this whole party is. It's just a display of your ego.
Yeah.
And now what can a man who definitely has an ego, who definitely is rich and famous, who's made money on his ego,
right?
What can he say except for, wow, maybe on some level you're right, especially when he's codependent and he's susceptible to the gaslighting. And he is not a narcissist, therefore he can take responsibility. Mm. He saw the flaw in himself. And he said, you know what? I guess on some level, this was about my ego. As, by the way, it would be for any man who does a grand gesture for their woman. And that's not wrong.
Right.
When we get our, when we buy our woman anything big, it is about our ego. When we drop a rack on a shopping trip or whatever it is, yeah, it's about our ego, but it's about her too. Everyone is winning, but not in a narcissist's mind. Everyone can't win with the narcissist. They feel like if you're winning, then I'm not winning. And so she had to shut it down instead of seeing it as, hey, we're all winning here. No, she had to kill it by making him believe that this was only about his ego and not about her, and this wasn't what she wanted. And so she said, no, I don't want to do the next, he had days planned of this thing. Mm. I don't want to do the next day. I just want something small. He said, that's fine. That's fine. I'll cancel it. But it wasn't good enough. Her point is to equivocate and say, no, I just like small things. You did it wrong because I want small things. And she snapped. Mm. She said, it's my birthday. It's to what he said, I'll cancel tomorrow. And she snapped. She said, it's my birthday. This is my birthday. And so she spun this whole thing and showed everyone how sad and upset she was that Will could do such a horrible thing as to spend 3 years and $1 million trying to make her happy. That was just the most selfish thing he could have possibly done.
That is
according
so
to her guess.
Crazy, man. It's so crazy. It seems like she resented him giving her the life that they have. Like, seems like she has a problem with being rich and famous because of him, and it seems like she resents the fact that they, you know, she had to maybe stop her career because she had the kids or whatever and take a back seat to him, and people maybe perceive that she's not as talented.
That's all a part of the gaslight. Like, the reason I'm sad is because I had to give up to raise our kids and all that. She married him at the height. It was 1997. I believe Men in Black had been released or was getting released that year. This was the height of his career. That was it. He was the man. He's now the biggest movie star, box office draw in the world. She knew she was marrying a rich man. So then why is she angry that he's rich? Why is she angry that he's famous? Why is she angry that they're getting a big house? Why is she angry that she's getting big birthday parties? Because she has to equivocate the whole thing so that she plays both sides, so that no matter what happens, she's preparing herself for a dog-eat-dog competition. Meaning this man might leave me at any time. So what will I say when he drops me? I have to set up a whole thing to show that I'm not inferior. And I do that by, from the very beginning, dragging my feet in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, I don't really want to get married. I don't like getting married. I don't want to get married. But I'm still going to get married to him. I'm not letting him go.
Right.
But I don't want to get married. Right. So it's this duality that's very confusing. Now, why are you getting married if you don't want to get married? Oh, well, you know, she throws some excuse. Mammy made me, you know.
Yeah.
It was 97, not 57. But for some reason, she was forced into the situation where she had to marry this wealthy, popular man. Mm. That, of course, is nonsense. And that's how narcissists spin the equation. If you are married to a narcissistic woman, she will tell you, you tricked her into getting married, or she didn't really want to get married, or she felt pressured to get, and she will drag that from the very beginning all the way for 20, 30, 40, 50 years of being married to her. She will always have that so she can go back and say, I never wanted to get married in the first place. That way, when you drop her, she can say, I never wanted this anyway. Mm. I've always wanted to get out. I've right. always wanted to leave. And she can cite all those times that indeed she kept pulling back, pulling back, pulling back, which of course causes the codependent spouse to pull in, pull in, pull in, to work and grab and work and no, 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 chase, chase, chase. And that's how someone like Will Smith has been operating in his relationship this entire time. If you thought he was strong, if you thought he looked strong, you have no idea the inner strength that he's been portraying, pursuing this unrealistic goal of making Jada happy right. in this relationship.
Right. And I read his book too, and I got a little, you know, from his child, his childhood trauma makes him seek approval from a person like Jada because of what he went through as a child, and really kind of is a testament to his success, because the way he looks at the world is like, I have to be funny, I have to be over the top, I have to be the most entertaining guy in the room, because I think his father was like abusive, and he had to diffuse the situation every time his father was around and be funny and entertaining to, you know, make things okay, you know. So he's always kind of been the fixer in his reality.
Daddy O was one of the greatest blessings of my life and also one of my greatest sources of pain. There were two issues. First, he had a brutal temper. And second, his drinking. When he was angry or drunk, he became an idiot. He would break his own rules, subvert his own objectives, destroy his own things. My mom is in many ways the total opposite of my father. Whereas Daddy-O was the boisterous, charismatic center of attention, my mom carried a quiet, reserved elegance.
Will recalls one particularly bad night when his father hit his mother so hard she spit up blood.
Each of my siblings responded differently in ways that would go on to define who we were for much of our lives. If Harry was fight, Ellen was flight, and I became a pleaser. I wanted to please and placate him, because as long as Daddy-O was laughing and smiling, I believed we would be safe. My little 9-year-old brain processed Daddy-O's abusive episodes as somehow being my fault. I should have been able to keep my father satisfied. I should have been able to protect my mother.
And that's like embedded exactly. in him from childhood. So he's been trying to like fix Jada's happiness this whole time. But
that's right.
Another question I wanted to ask, to get to the root of like narcissism, what is like the definition of narcissism? Like, what is a narcissist? And is it calculated? Like, are they aware of the tactics that they take to manipulate people? Or is it just like an innate thing that they can't help but do?
It's a great question. So narcissism is characterized by the lack of empathy that a person has. There's other traits like the grandiosity, needing for admiration, believing others are inferior. But the biggest thing that I would tell you to look out for is the lack of empathy for your close loved ones, especially on the emotional level. So you can literally see them emotionally suffering, and it doesn't affect you as a narcissist. And at times, you may even get a little bit of enjoyment of seeing someone emotionally suffer who's close to you.
Okay.
So that's the basic idea of narcissism. At the very root, they have this hierarchy idea of inferior people and superior people. They believe that that is absolutely how the world works, and they don't want to end up as an inferior person. So they end up in competition with whomever they're close to, including their own children and their spouse. Wow. So the question is this conscious? Are they doing it on purpose, right?
Right.
The answer is yes. They know what they're doing. They understand that they are not as benevolent as the other people in the room. They are not as innocent-minded as the other people in the room. They understand that they have a killer-be-killed mentality, and they are trying to kill the other people in the room, which makes manipulating all the other people so much easier if they don't all realize that you're a narcissist, which is why the majority of them go into covert mode at some point in their life. However, it is driven by a subconscious impulse.
Okay.
That it would be hard for them to explain right off the bat. They don't know why they're like that. They just know since they were very young, for whatever reason, they don't have a lot of empathy. They can torture animals or bugs and they don't feel anything for it. It's just interesting to them. And so when they started torturing humans at a very young age, they became callous to it. So they can't easily explain to you or identify why they have this feeling, why they're in this defensive drive. But they know when they're lying, they know when they're manipulating, they know when they're gaslighting, when they're smearing you, they know what they are doing. They're pros at it.
Wow. I think she even tweeted once. She was like, my narcissism is real. I don't know how real. I saw the picture of it. I don't know how real that tweet is, but I wouldn't put it past her. Let's see. I had another question about narcissism. So you said the term covert. What is covert narcissism?
So there's two main categories of narcissists, the covert and the overt. Covert means under the covers, like hidden. These are the people who smile and act like they are the nicest people. They may even fake empathy. They know how to play the game, and they will play it for years right next to you. It could be your best buddy. It could be your parents. They are low key. And you only notice that they're narcissists when all the doors are closed and everyone, all the public is gone, and they only show it. It only comes out to the people who are very, very close to them.
Okay.
The overt narcissist is also a narcissist just the same, only they're more brash and overt about their narcissism. Like, yeah, who cares? That's how I am. This is how I roll. This is just me. And everyone knows they're narcissists. And if you told them they're narcissists, they'd say, that's great. It's better to be that way. And so they're just overt with it.
Okay.
And so the exacerbated versions of these are the psychopath and the sociopath. Again, psychopath just being that they're covert, but they're at the level where it's the same thing as a covert narcissist. It's just a psychopath is at the level where they do things that are considered grossly immoral or illegal. And a sociopath is the same thing. They're just overt with it. They're not under the surface, and they're doing things that are grossly immoral or illegal. And so we would call them a sociopath. But it's the same thing.
They're
all the same thing.
Steps up from narcissism.
Steps up. You got it.
Can narcissism be cured, overcome? Can this behavior be changed, or is it too embedded in a person?
I choose to believe that anyone can change. That being the case, that being said, they never do change. That's rare to never. Rare to never do you hear of a narcissist just waking up one day and being like, you know what? I really want to heal this. They go on their healing journey. They apply everything they learn. They humble themselves and they take in the information and then they just become better. If someone is a high level narcissist, a psychopath, a sociopath, malignant in their behavior, it's very unlikely that you're going to see them change. The very essence of narcissism is to never admit that they are inferior or flawed. And so in order to heal, you have to admit that you have an inferiority or a flaw. So no, they don't change. They're not going to change. If you know one, you're close to one, just quietly take your leave. Don't tell them what they are. Just leave.
Right. So what percentage of people would you say are narcissists? And does everybody have a little bit of narcissism in them? That was a tongue twister.
Yeah, definitely. So we don't know what the percentage is because they don't admit anything is wrong, and most of them are covert. So safe to say they're everywhere.
Okay.
Like everywhere. Like check in the bed next to you, who you're sleeping with.
Uh-huh.
Possible. The people you're working with. possible. The people you were raised by, possible. They are everywhere. So I would hope that they're the minority of society, but we don't know how many they are because they're not raising their hands and saying, I'm one. Hey, let me just be real with you guys and admit it. I'm a narcissist. Right. They don't do that.
They're just somewhere they playing their game.
They manipulate really... everyone. And so expect them to be plentiful in society.
Okay.
I hear estimates of like 1 in 5 and things like that. I think it's a good rule of thumb, but that doesn't matter because if you're a codependent person, you may have only narcissists all around you because you've been so codependent that you're not ever cutting anyone out. So you're just keeping all of these toxic people in your circle. So it's not about knowing how many there are. It's about knowing how to protect yourself from them. Do we all have narcissistic traits? If you don't have narcissistic traits, then you're not healthy.
Really?
It's not narcissistic traits. Yeah. If it's not narcissistic traits that are the problem, for instance, a little bit of healthy grandiosity is necessary. The belief that you could start a podcast is a little bit of grandiosity.
Right.
The belief that you can make money or be rich or be famous or start a business is a little bit of grandiosity. We don't get cell phones and light bulbs if someone doesn't have a grandiose thought. That in itself is not bad. We need to have ego defensiveness, ego protection, each of us in order to be healthy. Meaning when you hear something negative about yourself, you have to be able to filter out some of the criticism and say, hey, I'm going to brush that off. I'm going to justify that because all that criticism is really actually not healthy for the soul. Mm. We can only take about 15% criticism. 85% of what we focus our mind on needs to be positive about the self.
Right.
So we need to learn a healthy narcissistic defense. For instance, when people look at Will in this situation, Will Smith not leaving the relationship, the problem is the lack of healthy narcissistic defense. He doesn't sit up and snap and say, hey, that's it. You're done. I'm not putting up with this because I love myself and going. That would be a narcissistic response, but a healthy narcissistic response.
Okay.
So, yes, we should all have healthy narcissistic traits. How do you keep from becoming what they call a narcissist, which is these malignant abusers?
Mm-hmm.
You don't exert your traits to the point where it's to the detriment of another person. That's where it becomes dangerous. You don't care that they're suffering. You don't care that you're hurting other people. That's where you become that narcissist. But if you keep empathy, if you keep your love and empathy, you can have the ego all you want. It's not hurting anyone as long as you are loving and empathetic to people.
Okay.
In large measure. It's got to be equal to your ego, by the way, if you want the formula. You need equal empathy to ego. I'm amazing and everyone else is too.
Right. I would say a very large percentage of people in America are narcissists. Just how the culture is set up and how, you know, it's not... Society is not so much community driven anymore. It's like really individualistic. Everybody's kind of out for themselves and everybody has an inflated ego and everybody thinks they can do everything and become anything. And like you said, that's not necessarily bad, but I don't think it's necessarily good for so many narcissists to coexist with each other and stuff.
Yes, the bend of society is definitely narcissistic. That is the culture of society. And America being that leader of Western culture, they're kind of leading the world. And yes, the American culture is quite narcissistic in itself. And so it causes the people to behave more narcissistically. It doesn't mean that all the people in it are narcissists, if that makes sense.
Okay.
For instance, when you go to hoop with the guys and you say, hey, guys, let's just play a chill game. I just want to relax and play a chill game. The problem is if just one of the guys decides he's going to go all out,
right,
and he's jumping up and he's dunking and doing everything else, everyone else can't play chill because he's doing too much.
Right.
And that's what happens in our society because there is the existence of narcissists. And then the existence of greedy people and the existence of those who are gonna go so hard and be dog eat dog, we all have to play that way.
I mean, I would say I have some narcissist, like you said, like I started a podcast, I like believe in myself and that I can like achieve certain things. You know, I think to be successful, you have to have a certain level of like you said, grandiosity, and like, you have to be a little delusional to believe that you can do certain things. But, I think you're right about, keeping a good balance of like, what I want to say, like don't let yourself get to the point where you're so full of yourself that you don't have empathy for other people and you think you're just soaring above everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And you don't care whose feelings you hurt on the way to the top and stuff like that.
That's right. A big part of our purpose needs to be the outreach. Like when we get there, what are we doing for everyone else along the way? And when we arrive at our goal, how is this going to benefit everyone? Would it be sustainable if everyone were living and acting and thinking the way I'm thinking? Mm-hmm. So we need to have empathy and thoughtfulness and morality in everything we're doing in order to properly be able to avoid being a narcissist.
Right, right. So if somebody's in a relationship with a narcissist, would you advise them to stay in that relationship when they realize that they're a narcissist and there's nothing they can do about it? They gaslighting them all the time. They breadcrumbing them. They doing all these narcissistic things to them, and it seems to be no end to it. Should they try to fix things and stay? And like in Will's case, should he get the fuck out of there? Or should he just adjust his behavior to accommodate Jada's? Because most of the people on the internet are like, this motherfucker crazy for staying with Jada. I think he's staying with her because he don't want to like lose 75% of his money and everything. But
no, not at all. Not at all. He stays because he's codependent. Mm. He can make the money back. That's not it. He stays because he's codependent. And he hasn't healed that childhood trauma because he hasn't worked with a real trauma specialist like myself. Instead, he's with these kind of like the Hollywood glitzy glammy type guys. But mm-hmm. to answer your question, in all cases, if you are in a relationship with a narcissist, you need to get out. There is no case where staying in the relationship is going to be the more healthy option for your mental health and your emotional health, which then affects your physical health and your financial health and your social health. So every part of it, oh, and your spiritual health. So every part of you will suffer if you stay in the relationship with the narcissist. It is their objective to destroy you. So look at Will's giving it some time, right? Will didn't just jump ship here.
He's giving it a lot of time. He's giving it like 7 years at this point.
And look at how it has turned out. We are watching this man deconstruct, decompose before our very eyes. And he's a very strong individual.
Right.
He's not weak. But what you know, for instance, what we saw with the infamous slap, this is an example of what happens when you are in a sexless marriage that has no validation, no affection, but you are still trauma bonded to the person so that you think that the solution to this awful problem that you're experiencing is to get her to love you.
Right, because she said
to feel something.
Right, because she said she just revealed that they were separated at the time, and she didn't even go to the Oscars with him as his wife. Like in her words,
that's her spin on the truth, which is that I was emotionally and sexually depriving my husband. That's what that really was. I was not giving anything to my husband. That's what that really is. So it's, oh, you know, we were separated at the time. We were not even husband and wife. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, so he says, come on, let's go. Because he is always trying to keep the family together. That's the mindset of the codependent. We have to stay together. So, of course, it's going to still bring her to the Oscars. And, of course, we all believe that they're husband and wife because they are husband and wife.
Right.
So let's take her spin and her gaslight out of the situation. They are a married couple. And, yes, they're having trouble in the marriage because of neglect, which is abuse. And now if you take a man and you neglect him for, at that point, what, 5 or 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen? How do you think a man acts when his needs are being neglected? What do you think is going to happen?
He's
going
to
It's not unpredictable.
He's going to bottle all that up in the inside until it explodes out on the Oscar stage and he's slapping Chris Rock in the face.
You ask, and when you see it that way, all of a sudden it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense because every man on the planet knows that when if you ask them, you say, "Hey, man, how would you feel if I deprived you for 6 years of any sexual gratification? You're married, but you're getting no gratification, no love, no affection, no validation, not even on the emotional level for 6 years. And by the way, you're working hard and you're providing. How would you feel?" They would, every one of them would say, "I'd be ready to slap somebody." That is exactly how they would all say that. Exactly. I will be ready to hit anybody. The first thing, and that is exactly how he acted, isn't it? That's, we are seeing a manifestation of our worst nightmare of being in that position.
Yeah, he had no control over himself in that moment. You know, all that tension swelled up inside him. And like the first person who, because Chris didn't even, the joke wasn't even that bad. It just called the G.I. Jane. Little quip about the bald head or whatever. But to him, because, you know, like I'm married, you know what I'm saying? And in marriages, you know, some women don't understand, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like if men ain't getting enough sex, you know, then, okay, you go 2 weeks without sex, right? Which is a long while for somebody, you know what I'm saying? And you have sex at the beginning of that 2 weeks, you know, and you happy after that sexual experience with your wife, y'all bonded or whatever. And then like a few days pass and you like, "Oh, okay, when are we going to do it again?" You know, and, you know, you get to 2 weeks, you get to 3 weeks. And women don't understand that the mere fact that all this testosterone is building up inside of you and, you know, all these hormones are going on that haven't been released, and you're making up scenarios and situations in your mind the whole time about why it's not happening. Why am I not getting this affection? Why am I being neglected? Why are we not having sex? And you coming up with all these theories and you just bottling up all this stuff, especially if you don't feel comfortable like talking to her about it. You don't want to push it on her or whatever. So you just, like I said, you just bottling it up, and eventually, I mean, it can't be helped that it's going to explode out.
Yep. You will do something that will appear to others to seem brash or irrational or desperate. You will do something that will not make you look good. And that is a situation that these narcissistic wives knowingly put their powerful husbands into. They know that they're driving them to do something. What they usually hope is that the man will go and cheat, so then they can use that to show how they are a victim. And once again, he is inferior, I am superior on a moral level. That's usually what they're hoping for. So I deprive him enough, and then he'll go cheat, and then I can cry victim and say, "Oh, see, that's why I can't have sex with you, because you're out in the streets." You see? Right. So they're looking to flip it retroactively on you. So,
but that's the reason why I had to hit the streets, because you wasn't giving it up.
Right. But then they flip that on you.
Yeah, no, that's the gaslight.
I can't do anything.
That's the gaslight right there. Like,
gaslight.
But let Will tell it. Let Will tell it. He's never been like more happy in his life. I think he did a little book tour engagement with Jada. I think I can. Let's see if I can play the audio. Let me go back a little bit. Can you hear it?
A sloppy public experiment. It is a sloppy public experiment in unconditional love. As I stand here before you today, I am happier than I've ever been in my entire life.
Can you love somebody forever, no matter what? Oh boy, was like, I saw you, man. I saw your face. You know, can you show up and love somebody for the rest of your life, even when you don't agree with them?
Yeah, so he say he happier than he ever been after all this, you know.
So you see some typical. He's keep doubling down on his same. This is how he's always been. By the way, he's always been this way.
Right.
Every tour, he's happier than he's ever been. Every tour he goes on to promote, he's more enlightened. He's learned more things than he's ever learned before, and he's more committed than he's ever been before to his family. He keeps doubling down on the same thing. This is what's worked for him in the past. But you see some things: the diffusing with humor. He always falls back on that. That's right. That's his coping mechanism.
Like we talked about with earlier. Humor.
Yep. And then he doubles down on unconditional love. So no matter what. So in other words, clearly I see in my logical mind, this person doesn't deserve my love.
Right.
But what I'm doing is I'm choosing to love them anyway. And that's what people have to understand, is he is making a choice, both subconsciously driven, but also consciously, to continue to go to bat for this woman. Because this is his moral, this is his value, this is his principle, this is how he defines himself. Mm. And that's why he doesn't walk away, because it's like walking away from who you are. So people are thinking maybe it's the money, people are thinking maybe it's a spell. No, this is him being stubborn. I refuse to lose. That is his mindset. That right. is how he's won in the past. So he says, hey, I said I was not getting a divorce. Like, by God, and I'm not getting a divorce from this woman.
Yeah,
but he doesn't realize how that's to his debt.
He's like, I don't
get realize
divorced.
How that's to his debt. He doesn't realize how it's to his detriment, because he's standing next to someone who's like, good. You'll never leave me? Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. That means I can do worse. I can do worse. And she keeps pushing the envelope, because he'll never leave, no matter what. And that's his promise.
That's crazy.
It's not healthy.
And the statement he said, like, can you love somebody forever for the rest of your life, no matter what they do? And I say the answer to that is hell no. Like, if somebody does a string of things like Jada has done, if my wife was to do anything of the sort that Jada has done publicly to him, you know, maybe I can love her from afar, but we not together, and you're not going to keep publicly like embarrassing me, especially if I'm a man of Will's stature. And I got all these accomplishments, and I've done nothing in my life but to try to exalt you and, you know, put you in the spotlight. And, you know, everything he's done for her, the whole birthday thing and probably countless other things he's done for her and set her up in life for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't feel like anybody should subject themselves to a person who doesn't care how their actions and moves affect you, make you look, and make you feel, you know. And to hear, like, I used to have a lot of respect. I think a lot of people used to have the utmost respect for Will Smith. But since the whole August thing and him, like, accepting that and tagging along with it and going on the red table and sitting there and listening to Jada talking about she needed healing, and she found it in this young dude that was the best friend of her son, and like to see him sit there with that little sad puppy dog face the shit really broke my heart. You know what I'm saying? And it made me lose a lot of respect for him. And every time she publicly speaks and says something to diminish him, it diminishes my respect for him. And it just makes me feel sorry for him. And that's a wild thing to say, because how could you feel sorry for somebody who's been the best, the biggest actor, the top earning actor, you know, for decades? You know what I'm saying? How could you do a guy like that? Like, it takes a special person to do what
that is the that's the mystery of narcissism. It's bewildering how they can treat someone.
I think she just found the right one. You know what I'm saying? She hit the jackpot with Will, because she found a guy who is a people pleaser, you know, that, you know, who wants to be a married man and have the family life as much as he does, to the point where he will suffer. And I think for years, I think this has always been going on in their marriage. But up until a few years ago, I think when Will like really got on social media, I think that was the point where they kind of separated, and he knew things were going to come out. So he started, he released videos saying, like, I've been putting up this whole public facade of myself and my family. I've always tried to be perfect. I've always tried to portray myself in a certain way to control the narrative of my family. You know, they've been relationship goals and everything like that. And he kept everything under wraps for years. But when he saw stuff unraveling, he was like, okay, y'all, I'm going to show y'all the real me now. Even the bad stuff about my relationship, I'm going to put it out. He tried to get ahead of it and everything. But I don't think it works in his favor. And it seems like he doesn't. I know deep down he cares what everybody on the whole world is talking about him and his family situation. He tries to act like he doesn't care, and he's just oblivious to what everybody is saying, and you know, it doesn't affect him. He smiley, happy go lucky Will Smith, you know, and you know, my wife fucking other people, but whatever, you know, I'm super happy. It's cool. It's not my job to make her happy. She gotta make herself happy, and I gotta go make myself happy, and then we come back together, and somehow this all works out. You know what I'm saying? I know she loved. I know Tupac is her soulmate. You know what I'm saying? But we married, and we ain't getting a divorce. You know, it's just, it's so crazy.
You're absolutely right.
And they're they're so vague about, like, even Jada. Like, I saw an interview, I think she was it with like Good Morning America or something. But she was, the interviewer was like, "You're a straight talker, Jada." And Jada was like, "Yeah." And then they were like, "But sometimes you're not." And she was like, "Exactly." No, what the fuck does that mean? Like, she says stuff to try to, you know, this is my truth and I'm just telling my truth or whatever, but she's so vague at the same time to make people still speculate like what's really going on and stuff like that. Like, it's just so, I don't even know the word for it, man. But
deceitful.
Yeah, it's really deceitful. And I was watching an interview with her and I think this Indian guy, what's his name? Jay Shetty. I almost called him Jay Shitty, but I guess it's Jay Shetty. But yeah, and she was, I watched like maybe half of it before I couldn't hear her speak anymore. But she was like, she was explaining like her childhood trauma, how her mom was a drug addict and she didn't get much from her. I think her dad was a drug addict too. And at one point he told her that, he was like, "I can't be your father," I guess because of his addiction or whatever like that. So she was kind of on her own as a kid. And that was her kind of justification for her behavior, you know, through the years or whatever. And I was watching it, and she's a good manipulator, because I started to like kind of feel bad for her. You know, I was like, oh, okay, she had a hard few years in her younger life or whatever, and you know, that's the reason why she like kind of is how she is. I haven't read the book yet, so I don't know the intricacies of that, but she tried to make herself seem like the victim in the situation, and I think a lot of people buy that. Most people don't. But did you see that interview? Did you see any clips from that interview or watch any of it?
No. Yeah, I saw a clip. all narcissists have a trauma story, and it's a real one. And they are pros at weaponizing your empathy. Mm. And that's what they use. That's what they use. Female narcissists know that you will project, by the way, love, empathy, nurturing on them. Mm-hmm. And that's why we never questioned Jada in the past. We assume she's a woman, so we assume she's a good mom. We assume she's empathetic to her children. We assume she's nurturing because she's a woman.
Right.
And narcissists who are female know that you will assume those things, and they use that to their advantage. And it's the same thing they're doing with the childhood trauma. They know that people will say, oh, wow, you really went through some things, and maybe that does excuse the behavior. But then when you realize that most of us do have some type of childhood trauma, and then it doesn't excuse 30 years of abusing another person,
right?
Then you kind of help put it in perspective. She's got all the resources needed to heal if she wants to, or she can cry about her birthday party. It's up to her.
Yeah.
So we know what she's chosen, and Will, unfortunately, like so many trauma-bonded spouses, so many women that won't leave their husbands, that won't leave their boyfriends, despite the fact their boyfriends are putting them in the hospital and hurting them on various levels.
Right.
He is trauma-bonded. So he's going to, against logic, stick through to that relationship, and it will hurt him. And it has hurt him already, and that's what we've seen. And that's where we're saying, wow, you know, Will Smith used to be this, he used to be that. He's still that guy. It's just that the effect of subjecting your own self, and it is his responsibility to stop subjecting himself to it, but the effect of subjecting yourself to abuse and neglect is that you will decline spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and ultimately socially and career-wise as well.
Yeah, I think it's affecting him in all those ways. Even in his career, you know, after the slap, people was like, oh, it's over for Will. But, you know, he still got emancipation. I don't think his career is over. But I think it affects his career in the sense that, like, everybody is speaking about him and his wife, you know, saying the wildest things about her, probably rightfully so. So it's going to affect who he can interact with in the future. You know, he can't do an interview with nobody notable anymore, because everybody has said something toward this situation. You know, he can't work with certain people anymore. You know,
he got banned from the Oscars.
He got banned from the Oscars. That's, you know, the slap is forever a stain on his legacy. You know, when it was squeaky clean before that, you know what I'm saying? That will, whenever Will Smith's name comes up, that's the first thing on the top of their mind. Not Men in Black, not Independence Day, not any of the great accomplishments he's had. I mean, he won an Oscar that night for a great movie, Serena and Venus Williams, you know, story or whatever, which is really a great movie, and he really did a good job in the movie. But that's completely overshadowed by the fact that he slapped Chris Rock, you know what I'm saying? And some people say it's not fair to blame Jada for that whole debacle, you know? Even she would say, I didn't know what was going on.
You can't blame anyone, absolutely. You have to leave the responsibility where it lies with the grown man who made his choice.
Mm.
But we still wanted to understand why. How this great man got to this point. And now we're explaining. And now you know she bears responsibility for what she did. She didn't do the slap, but she did do the 6 years of neglect, plus the years of abuse before that. I don't know what was going on in the house, but I think the kids emancipated themselves at a young age also. So
I think so.
I don't know what it, yeah, I don't know what it was like growing up with Jada as a mom. I don't know. But I do know it, based on what I'm seeing, probably wasn't a whole lot of love and empathy happening. And so she is responsible for that.
Right.
And he is responsible for what he's done. So absolutely. We should not blame her for someone else's behavior. But come on now.
So you don't blame her? You don't, she shouldn't hold any blame for what happened that night, is what you're saying. I think she has some blame in it. Not 100%, but some percentage. A big percentage.
She did what she did, and he did what he did.
I mean, he made the choice. Yes,
it affected each other, right? She affected him. That is correct. But he did what he did. She was surprised. She didn't know that was going down that night. Chris Rock was going to get slapped. She was pleasantly surprised by that Easter egg. She had been waiting for years to get a moment, to get something she would have a leg up over Will Smith on, and she finally got it. So right. She bears responsibility for her abuse if she has abused him. Yeah.
Right. And she said they got back together after that. She said after that, she was like, I came to the Oscars not as his wife, but I left as his wife. After he slapped this nigga, I realized I love this man. That's what she said.
Exactly. Yeah, she did say that. Yeah, the Oscars was not a wedding ceremony, but somehow she went in as not his wife and came out as his wife. And that was her interpretation, as would be a narcissistic woman's interpretation of the situation. But what that really was is she did that in a later interview. She's trying to clean up the fact that she created the huge stink, the big embarrassment. It's a huge scandal. It's all over everyone. Everyone's calling her out. So it's like, hey, Jada, you're not sensitive to this because you're a narcissist. But as your team, we need to let you know you're making this guy look bad, and that's making you look bad. Mm-hmm. You need to say something nice about Will. And so that was her attempt at trying to show, like, oh, hey, everything's cool between us, you know, even though I totally told you everything's not cool, now I need to go back and clean it up. So she tried, it's the equivocation. Now she's on the other side of it. Oh, yeah, I gotta tell you, man, that's my dude, I love him. When he slapped that guy on the stage, I was just like, that's my guy, you know, and I was like, yeah, now I know I love him, that's what, so it's all just, she's making up stuff, you know, she's making up stuff. Always playing both sides of the coin at the same time.
Right. Even when she was asked about it, that's why I was saying she like say stuff, but it leaves you like still like confused, because even when they asked her that and she said that, she was like, yeah, so now we've been working real hard on coming back together. And the interviewer was like, oh, so it won't be no divorce. Y'all gonna like come all the way back together and be a married husband and wife again. She was like, no, we working on our partnership, you know, like, what the fuck does that mean, Jada? The fuck does that mean? Y'all gonna get back together or what? You know what I'm saying? She know how to keep people talking around the situation, you know? And I think that's what frustrates a lot of people.
Yeah.
Definitely frustrates me.
No straight answers.
Even Will don't really give straight answers. They both like these philosophers, and they try to like make everything sound like, oh, love, and you can't make a person happy. Like, shut the fuck up. And if y'all gonna talk, tell us the truth or shut the fuck up, you know, because that's what got the whole world so intrigued in this situation, because we all speculating, because y'all giving us these little breadcrumbs, you know what I'm saying? And y'all was supposed to be relationship goals, but y'all relationship is shit, you know what I'm saying? It just, I don't know, it gave me riled up when I listened to her talk, because she like tried to come off as like so like regal, and like she sits there like she's such a authority on everything she talks about, especially when she was on the Red Table Talk. I was very happy to see that that show like ended. I think I was watching it at first because I was kind of, they had some intriguing shows at first, but then she had an episode where they like steamed their vaginas and shit. And I was like, okay, I'm out. This show is not for me. But yeah, they like sat on some steam pots and like with her daughter, she like steamed her vagina. And it's supposed to be like, I don't know. But you spoke to her and like her kids' relationship. And I think for sure she was a narcissistic parent to them growing up. And maybe that led to them emancipating themselves. And maybe that's like a big reason why their public image is so weird, you know? Because I think it was a story about, because you know, like Jada's relationship with Tupac and everything, and how she's like still holding the torch for him and said he was her soulmate, but they didn't have a sexual connection and blah, blah, blah. And supposedly she was spending a lot of time in her room crying, still mourning Tupac when Willow was young, and she was kind of neglecting Willow to the point where Willow started self-harming and cutting herself, you know. And Jada, you know, allegedly wasn't there for her in those times because she was anxious and depressed and probably in her narcissistic bubble at the time, too. And I don't know if she told Willow to write the letter to Tupac or Willow took it upon herself, which is wild, to write Tupac a letter saying, please come back so my mom can be happy and we all can be happy. What are your thoughts?
This is why you must leave. This is why you must leave a narcissist. Mental illness is contagious. It's important for any listeners right now to understand. This is why you have to leave. Mental illness is contagious. Your daughter will develop borderline personality disorder if you raise her in a household where her mother is either borderline or narcissist and they're not healing. You understand? So that's what you're telling me. I didn't know that Willow did self-harm. I knew about the letter. Mm-hmm. That's mental illness. I'm going to write this letter now to some friend she had back when she was, you know, this doesn't make sense. Right. And she has a whole father, by the way, who lives with them. And you see, come back and make mommy happy.
That's so crazy, man.
But wouldn't you say that to maybe your dad? That wouldn't be weird. Like, dad, can you make mommy happy? That would make sense.
Right.
But you're going to write a letter to someone who died 20 years ago? And that doesn't make sense. So we got to see it for what it really is. As mental illness is contagious. You pass it on to your kids, you pass it on to your spouse if you're not healing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was messed up, and it's a product of neglect. If she's harming herself, that means she was emotionally neglected.
Right.
That is what that's a product of. A young lady is not harming herself if she has a nurturing, kind, generous mother. Right. It's not happening.
Right.
She harms because she doesn't know what to do with the pain. Mm-hmm. The pain comes from the fact that she has no safe place to go with her feelings.
Damn, man. How you rich as they are and got all the motherfucking problems. What's your thoughts on why she's so hung up on Tupac? And like, how do you...
Oh, that's just... okay, first of all, the relationship was like this. It's not a big deal, right? This is someone you knew back around high school, college age. And you just knew them, you know, you were cool, you had a relationship, you did a couple things together, never, like they said, had sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's it. Normally, we would let that go. If they became famous and notable, we would mention it, of course, like, oh man, yeah, I knew them, I had this and that with them. We tell our story one or two times, and we drop it.
Right.
A narcissist, however, says, oh, this person is revered in society, and then the name cannot leave them. It's in their mouth constantly. Oh, you know, I used to be. You know, me and him used to be. You know, and so she's got to keep associating. because she needs some of that reverence. She wants to be venerated. So she wants to go down in history as a god. The way Tupac is revered, she needs people to say Tupac and Jada. And that's her, in her mind, she's got to utilize that tool, that connection that she had, even though it was just a small, they were kids, no big deal. We went to school together. We were in the school of the art. That makes sense. We're actors. But no, she can't play it down. She's got to play it up. Everyone went to school with Pac, but everyone else isn't talking about how we all went to school with Pac every single day, every interview. No. Just her, because that is what narcissism is all about. What can I use to elevate my status, my status, my status, my status? So yeah, she can't just be married to Will. She has to be the bride of Tupac and the bride of Will. And so that's the way they work. Equivocation. That makes two places at once.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. I feel like
she, by the way, I want to say, bro, she brainwashed her children on this Tupac thing as well. And that's where you see the letter from Jada. I mean, the Willow. Letter from Willow.
Yeah.
Also, Jaden in an interview was like, yeah, my mom, Tupac proposed to my mom and everything. It shows she was feeding them that diet. Even in the household, she's telling them, me and Tupac, me and Tupac, me and Tupac.
That's so sick.
That is terrible.
Well, they got a super duper successful.
The kids weren't even alive.
He's not even alive, and they got a super duper successful father in the home that loves them dearly, but she done brainwashed them into exalting Tupac in the same way that she does. That's so...
He's the biggest actor in the world. Okay? He's not a refrigerator salesman.
Right.
I can see that, right? Like, I used to date Tupac, and now I just got this regular guy. No, exactly. No. This is the biggest actor in the world. No reason to tear him down, but in the household with a narcissist, that guy is a failure. Your dad is a failure. That's how the kids would have been raised. And this guy who's dead, who can't say anything or do anything right now, that guy is who I want to associate myself with.
Right. Terrible.
The kids should barely know anything about that.
Yeah, they shouldn't know nothing about that, man. They didn't. He was long dead when they was born. It's pretty wild. I wanted to say something else. I had something on the tip of my tongue to say about that too. Oh, okay. So you kind of, no, it's not your fault. You kind of alluded to what I was going to say, because like it was her and Tupac was a long time ago. And sometimes, you know, you meet a person, especially when you're young like that in school and you experiencing, you know what I'm saying, new things in life for the first time, and both of y'all in the same situation, and, you know, school, or, you know, maybe you're in the army together, you're in basic training together and stuff, you know, you got this artificial environment that like gives you a bond because y'all going through the same thing, and, you know, everything's great between the two of y'all, even if it's just a friendship bond. It's a snapshot in time to where you had such a great relationship with a person. You know what I'm saying? And that could be, you could have that experience with a lot of people, but life goes on, and those feelings and that relationship usually fades. But when a person dies right after you had this experience with them, and you know, the experience just abruptly stops, and you have this snapshot in your mind of this person, you know, from that point on, I think that's what's making her, she doesn't understand that, and that's what's making her have such a, you know what I'm saying, good image of Tupac. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it's just her narcissism. I don't know. Maybe I'm caping for her or whatever.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and that's so beautiful of you to try to make it work. But I will argue the point that it's 100% narcissism.
Okay.
He is the most famous guy to die. You know, I mean, this guy is very, very much venerated, very respected, and therefore she will associate herself with him. She's had a lot of other connections, but she will associate herself with him because of who he is. That's all. The reality of the situation is they had a small relationship. Life did go on. It was just a snapshot. And they weren't even talking for a year before he had died. They had already broken up, moved apart. You know, life had gone on already. Mm-hmm. So the way she tries to make it seem like we were still tight. He was asking me to marry him. It was us. That is a false narrative. That was not, no, we all knew we were alive in 97. Mm-hmm. We weren't talking about Tupac and Jada. Think about it. 97? No. We weren't Tupac, Jada. You didn't have Jada's name in your mouth when you said Tupac.
No way.
That was a distant connection. That was, most people didn't even know they even had a connection. You know what I'm saying? So it's not all of that. It really is not all that. They were just friends. They were all associated with each other. They all knew each other. Even Will knew Tupac. Right. So
he even mentioned that
bigger than it was.
Yeah. He even mentioned in a Breakfast Club interview that it always fucked with him. Like he always felt kind of diminished by the fact that she exalted Tupac in the way that she did. Even when he was alive, he said, I regret how I acted towards Tupac. I never had an interaction with him because of how, you know, because of their relationship and how she made me feel about him and how she felt about him. You know what I'm saying? So that's been one of her manipulation tactics for her.
Were you ever jealous of the love Jada had for Tupac?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I thought you were gonna
say
no.
Oh my God, that dude, that was in the early days.
Yeah.
That was in the early days, and it was like, that was a big regret for me too, because I could never open up to interact with Pac, mm-hmm. you know, and because we had a little bit of a thing, right? Because you know, they grew up together, and you know, they loved each other, but they never had that, you know, they never had a sexual relationship. Yeah. But they had come into that age where now that was a possibility, and then Jada was with me. You know, so, you know, Pac had a little thing on that, but she just loved him. Like, he was the image of perfection, but she was with the Fresh Prince, you know? So it was like, I never could, like, even we were in a room together a couple times. I couldn't speak to him, you know? And, you know, he wasn't going to speak to me if I wasn't going to speak to him. But,
really? It seemed like y'all would have so much in common.
No, that's what Jada would say all the time. She was like, I'm telling you, y'all are so similar. You will love him. And I just never, you know, that was a huge regret of mine. I just didn't, I couldn't handle it.
Forever. Absolutely. So even at that time, she would have used equivocation, which is, hey, this is my friend, Will. Come on, this is my friend. We've never done anything. But at the same time, he is this, he is that, he is this, he is that, right? And blowing up her connection to him. So she's using that equivocation even during that time period, which is going to mess with her future husband's head. But that's what she wanted. And she didn't know, obviously, that he was going to die and become what he became. Mm-hmm. But even at that time, she's going to say, I have this friend over here and we're this. And she's going to try to balance in these two relationships with two men at the same time. Two great men who are on the rise.
Right.
In their own respective way.
So what would you say to people who would say, you know, because like I said, she in the media, everything she said, a lot of stuff she says kind of shits on Will, makes him look bad. You know what I'm saying? But what would you say to people who say, look, this is her truth. This is her story to tell. This is how she feels. You know, she shouldn't have to be concerned with how it makes Will feel or anybody else for that matter. It's her story to tell. And it doesn't make her a narcissist for telling it.
Yeah, I want people to pay attention to not her diagnosis or what the experts are saying she is. I want people to pay attention to what they can learn from the behavior. So this is an opportunity, and that's why I jumped on this particular thing with Jada.
Can you hold that thought for 1 second?
So what I'm saying is what we want to do is not worry about the diagnosis of the celebrity, but focus on learning from the behaviors, because this is something people don't see and they don't know about. It's covert narcissism, especially in females. It's imperceptible. People don't see it because we're projecting goodness, nurturing, kindness, empathy onto women that we see in society, in our lives. And so recognize that sometimes some of these women can also be capable of evil. And so they could be abusing or neglecting. Focus on the behavior. Do you see equivocation where the speech is here and there and here and there? Do you see gaslighting? Do you see lying? Do you see manipulation, triangulation, the use of flying monkeys and a lack of empathy for their close loved ones?
Flying
That's
monkeys?
What we want you to focus on.
You said flying monkeys.
Yeah, flying monkeys. That's the term taken from the Wizard of Oz, where she had the henchmen, the flying monkeys that she would send out to do her will. Narcissists mobilize people in their life to act as a flying monkey, to go to you and help control your behavior. So they send a flying monkey into you to say, hey, I don't think you should do the podcast because the narcissist thinks you shouldn't do the podcast. So they send their flying monkeys in to try to control your behavior.
Oh, okay. Somebody to back up their point of view in the situation to make you think about your actions even more. Like, maybe they were right because this other person is saying the same thing.
Exactly. They try to use strength of numbers on you. So they try to manipulate everyone in your circle. And that's why they're using smear campaigns and everything else. So it's all just tactics of abuse and control. And we need to become aware of them and understand that men are capable of this, women are capable of this, and this is happening in our communities, in our families. It's the person you're in bed with. And so recognize where these people are, who they are, so that you can get yourself safe.
So how do you beat a narcissist? Like, how do you win in this situation?
Jesus made a statement. He said, I have conquered the world. And the world was still standing. So what he was saying is that I conquered the world because the world didn't conquer me. And so likewise, your way of conquering the narcissist is to not allow the narcissist to conquer you. And the way you don't allow a narcissist to conquer you is to never believe anything they say. Because everything a narcissist says, everything, is a manipulation toward their agenda of making you believe that you or someone else is inferior to them or they're superior to you or someone else. That's always their agenda. So never believe anything they say. Separate yourself from them so you're not being affected by their toxic energy. And get yourself to safety. Remove yourself. Get a new circle. Cut off the friends that they've infected with their smear campaign. You conquer them by not being conquered by them. Because what destroys a narcissist is to be made irrelevant. That's what destroys them. You can try exposing them. That doesn't destroy them. Like, you put them out there. Like, you see Jada right now. Everyone is upset at her or whatever, but it doesn't stop her. Right. And you'll see with other narcissists who are notable as well, they'll get in trouble, but it never stops the narcissism. The only thing that destroys them internally is to be made irrelevant. That's what destroys them. So make that narcissist irrelevant in your life by cutting them off, blocking them on everything, acting like they don't exist, like they never existed, and just live your life like they are a figment of someone's imagination. That's how you defeat a narcissist.
Wow. So you just got to get away from them.
They don't exist. They don't even exist.
You hear that, Will? Need to get the fuck away from Jada, man. But like you say, he's a codependent. So he probably will never leave her alone. She ain't, Jada, she a beautiful woman, man. But it ain't like she like got no cheeks or nothing like that. You know, like I don't know. I think it's like we said earlier, it's just his need to be married and to succeed and to, you know, be the fixer in the situation.
That's right. It's him.
And he got all this time invested in, and he already failed that one marriage, and that still eats at him. So he's like, man, whatever happens, we both could be fucking other people for the rest of our lives, but we are not signing those divorce papers. And I think that's a shame, man.
That's right.
Will can have anybody He could. I think Will should get him a woman that's not famous, that's a regular degular, still beautiful. Maybe he's too big to even find that at this point, which is another problem he probably has. But I don't know what he should do. Where do you think this whole debacle is gonna lead in their lives? Like, do you think they're gonna stay together forever? Do you think he's gonna eventually wise up and leave her? Or is she just gonna keep?
If he there's a strong chance he may try to stick it out and stay together forever. If he does that, his career will tank. His life will tank, his health will tank. He just won't be the man that we knew him as in the 90s and the 2000s. There is a chance that he eventually just gets fed up and does drop her. Maybe she crosses some line that we don't know where the line is. It just appears he doesn't have a line, right?
What line? So, she done crossed every line there is to cross. Ain't no more lines.
Exactly. So there's a good chance they stay together. But if at some point he does set a boundary and set a line, and he finally feels like enough is enough, we may see very late in years him finally break off. But the best, my advice to him, the best thing you can do is break it off as fast as possible. If you can get this done by the end of the week, as fast as possible, because everything else will flourish. If he were to break this off this month, everything will flourish for him. His career will improve, his reputation will improve, his spirit, his energy, his emotions, his mental health, everything will improve. His children will then respect him more. Everything will get better. And we will respect him more. Everything, his stock will go up. So I hope that he makes that choice, but probably he won't.
Probably not. Yeah, I would gain some respect back for him if he was to like finally leave her, and if he would make a honest public statement about it and stop trying to make it seem like he's the happiest he's ever been. You know what I'm saying? He tries to assert this narrative that, you know, he's so happy and it doesn't matter what Jada does. He's always going to love her and it doesn't affect him deep down inside. But man, come on, you a human being who loves the idea of marriage and love and family. Because you didn't have it growing up and you created this whole world. It was probably the motivation, her neglect is probably what motivated you to be the biggest movie star in the world. That was probably a ploy. He was like, I'm going to become as famous as I can possibly be. So she finally accepts me. You know what I'm saying? I think he alluded to that in the book, if I'm not mistaken, but. I don't think he's gonna leave her, or he's gonna leave her very late in life. But I hope he does leave her, because he could just do, everybody agrees that he could do so much better, you know? And I don't necessarily, you know, I believe she's a narcissist, but I don't think she's necessarily a evil person. Maybe I'm giving her too much rope with that, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people really do. And but I think, I'm not going to buy the book, but I think she does have the right to like tell her side of the story, even though Will just put out a book and he put little tidbits in the book about him and Jada, but he always talks about her in a good light, you know. He always, even though he tries to get what how he really feels in there sometimes, he never disrespects her. And she don't give a fuck if people feel like she disrespects. She don't give a fuck. She like, this is how I feel. This is about me. This is how I felt. You know, this is how I feel. This is what I went through. You know, I ain't, sex with Will wasn't good, you know, blah, 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 Tupac this, Tupac that, you know, diminishing him at every point, but he still exalts her and lifts her up, you know what I'm saying? As a husband should to a wife. And I just hope I think he's just in this whole Hollywood thing. And he's like progressive and stuff. And he's like, nah, we just live in an alternate lifestyle, you know, like, you know, kind of encouraging other people, trying to sway people's opinion to what, to where, like, because that he said something, he put out a video. And I know I'm kind of going all over the place, but it's a messy situation. But he said, he looked at Jada and he was like, you know what? I retire from trying to make you happy. I want you to go out in the world and prove to me that it's even possible for you to be happy. And my question to you is that healthy in a relationship? Like, is it true that your spouse doesn't have the responsibility of, doesn't have the responsibility of your happiness? Are you not to be a factor in your spouse's happiness? Because it seems to me like a spouse should have a certain responsibility to like you being happy, at least in that portion of their lives. Like, they should be happy with you, right? Am I tripping?
A great question. So we do have responsibility toward our spouse, and it's to provide for them emotionally. What we owe them is love. What we owe them is validation. We owe them support. We owe them empathy. Mm-hmm. We owe them that care, that love, that support, that validation, that empathy. We are not responsible for the person's happiness. Right. So it is a correct conclusion to come to say, hey, wait a second, I'm not supposed to be making you happy. This is a revelation that could have changed everything if he would have just walked away instead of saying, I'm going to sit here and wait around to see if you ever can make yourself happy. Mm. That would have been great. But he said, okay, I'm going to wait and see what you do. Okay, well, great. Well, what's it been, 3-4 years since he said that? How is she doing? Is she happy now? is it working? No. You have stuck around and you have seen everything get worse for you in terms of your legacy and mm-hmm. what you've built for yourself. Mm-hmm. It will harm you every time to stick around with a narcissist. So yeah, he came to the right conclusion, and better late than never, but he's not applying his own discovery. He's not responsible for her happiness, and therefore he must recognize this is someone who can never be pleased. He still left the door open. He's like, well, maybe she can be pleased, but I just can't do it. Right. So yeah, we're going to allow the affairs, and yeah, we're going to allow her to just go and do her thing, but it's not working. Mm-hmm. So recognize that it's not working. You've been separated for the 6 years. I think this was the time of the separation when he came to this conclusion
or something like
that. Yeah. So this is pre August affair. Now, what is the result? Did it work? Did she make herself happy? He's got enough evidence at this point. We are all rooting for him to see it and then walk away, but he's missing that last boundary to realize, oh, wait a second. She can never be happy. Therefore, I need to go find a different person who I can make happy, or just go be happy by myself, so I'm not being abused.
Right. Because why stay married if you realize a person just doesn't know happiness? You know what I'm saying? Like, and especially, okay, maybe because they say, like, if you love something, let it go, and if it comes back and blah, blah, blah. But the minute I let you go and another penis slip up in you, oh, that's bye-bye forever, ma'am. Like, ain't no coming back after August. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't. And some people say that, oh, he's a bigger person than me, he's a better man than me, than that I wouldn't put up with that. But I don't think that makes him a better man just because he can tolerate his wife having affairs with other men and stuff. I think that makes him a weaker man to accept that type of behavior from somebody who's supposed to be in a marriage, in a commitment, in a monogamous relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's what he wants at all. I think he accepts it because he's so codependent on her. But I think deep, he's a human being, like, deep down. And he black. I see if he was a white dude and he was a cook or whatever. Maybe I ain't never known a black man to be a cook, you know, but I just, the whole situation just confuses me. And that's why I wanted to get you on to kind of helped me understand more and helped like my audience understand more.
It's a trauma bond. It's codependency. And it's when we have codependency, our mind is on a cognitive distortion, such as love will fix everything. My goodness that I put out in the world will come back to me. That's called, I lost the name of the distortion, where we believe our good, oh, heaven's reward fallacy. And we believe the goodness that we put out is all going to come back to us. These types of ideas keep us stuck in a relationship. Anyone can change. She's going to get better, you know, holding out that hope. We see this more familiar when a woman is doing it with a man. This is an example of a man doing it with a woman. It's the same thing, though.
Wow, man. Damn, Will. I fucked up your legacy and stuff, man. Yeah, but it is what it is.
That's it. It's not gonna get better.
Unless he leaves her like tomorrow and comes out, does a tell all interview and be like, this bitch did this and this and that. But I don't see that happening. But they're supposed to be releasing a joint book together after her book is her book is probably gonna be a bestseller. This is probably the best like book rollout I've ever seen in my life. at the expense of Will.
Book rollout. A lot of publicity.
A lot. Everybody talking about it. And she know it. And she probably love it. Mm-hmm. Eating it up. Are you gonna buy the book and read it for research purposes?
Mm-hmm. No. I would never listen to a narcissist speak. It's painful even for me to just take the clips to put it at the beginning of the video just so people know what I'm talking about. It's just, it's rough. It's rough to hear the manipulation, the twisting of words, the equivocation. It is rough. I would not pick up a whole book that's written by someone that I believe tells lies and manipulation and just read it. I would not do that. It's too much.
I definitely feel you on that. Cause like I said, it was hard for me to listen to the portion of that podcast interview she did. And I had to turn it off because I kept being like, what, huh? That don't make no.
I can't get through a whole interview. It's not going to happen. I have not listened to a whole interview. It just can't happen. I can't do it. It's going to be too much. It's going to be too much. It's disturbing.
Yeah, like you said, mental illness is contagious, so maybe you pick up some of that. Yeah, that's man. Right. But, I appreciate you coming on and speaking to me about this, man. And hopefully people take something away from this. Is something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, speaking of book, I have a book. It's called Mind, M-I-N-D.
Okay.
And that's available on Amazon. And then you can find me at Roman Zanoni on YouTube and TikTok.
Okay. You say it's called MIND. Is that like an acronym?
It is. It stands for Mentally Identify Negative Distortions.
Oh, okay. That's dope. I want to write it.
Hold on. I
got to do it. Yeah, go show the people what it looked like.
Yeah, we got to bring it in frame.
Here. Yeah, you got to plug
there
it.
There we go. That's
dope.
Yeah.
Is it on
audio? So anyway, it's available on Amazon.
Is it on audiobooks? Can you listen?
It'll be on audiobook in about a month or so.
Oh, okay. You got to get it on audiobooks, man, because a lot of people lazy like me. I'd rather listen to it than sit there and flip the page.
Me too. I'm the same way.
Yeah, but that's dope.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Nah, man. It probably won't be the last time, man. I would like to break down a lot of people's psyches with you in situations like this happen. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we can do this again.
Sounds good. Definitely.
All right, man. You want to plug like your TikTok or your Instagram or anything like that for the people?
At Roman Zanoni on TikTok, at Roman Zanoni on YouTube.
All right, man. So this has been the Quote Goes Podcast. I go by the name of Tommy Guns. And if you were listening to this and you feel like some of this reminds you of your significant other, you probably need to get the fuck out of there. But appreciate y'all for tuning in. Do your likes and subscribes. And we'll see y'all next time. Peace.